Recently, it was called to my attention that at least an idea was put forth that I had never considered before, and that when Jesus sat down with his apostles at what we now refer to as the Last Supper, that was really the fulfillment of the Passover. I think it's really easy to take a look at the Passover and the life of Christ and the death of Christ and draw some similarities, but so many things in the Old Testament are that way. Maybe had overlooked the significance of this. And one of the ways we see that significance come through in the New Testament is that Christ fervently desired to have this Passover meal with his apostles in the upper room. And like so many things Christ did, he took something that was good from the Old Testament, retired it, and reinstituted it for something better. And I think that's what we see going on here. And I'd love to focus on that at some point. Maybe that's even a whole sermon. There's so many allusions, so many similarities that we can look to these two things. But in thinking about that, I paid more attention to the unleavened portion of what we partake here, the unleavened bread, than I ever have before. And I think it's correct to read, as Christ says, "This is my body," and to think of this thin wafer as something that represents the flesh, the life that came and lived and died. But I think when Christ had this supper, the ideas that would have been going through their head was much deeper than that. This was built on top of an idea that already existed that I've, quite frankly, never paid attention to. One of the interesting passages that brought this out to me, it was in an unlikely place in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Here we see the Apostle Paul writing to talk about sexual immorality in the church. And he writes in verses 6 through 8, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are really unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And what we see here is a dichotomy of the old and the new. And that's so symbolic of what Christ came to do, right? And there are many passages that equate yeast or leaven to sin. I think you can't rule that. There's a passage that actually equates yeast to heaven. But so many times we see this idea of yeast being the equivalent of sin in our lives, the fatty things that we engage in that that burden us down and make our lives harder. And so when I think about this old and the new, I went back to Exodus chapters 12 and 13 and said, well, what was the purpose of having unleavened bread there in the time of the Passover in Egypt? And we see that there were some symbols that were given to them to celebrate the Passover. The Passover, of course, reflecting when the angel came and killed the firstborn of all the Egyptians and spared the firstborn of the Israelites because they had put the blood on the door from the lamb that was sacrificed. And then they had this feast that would follow to celebrate the redemption of the sons that were saved that night. And we see in verse 8 of chapter 12, "That night they shall eat of the flesh, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it." And there's some speculation here, but I don't think what you see here is your typical kingdom feast of all the best foods and all the favorite things. You know, bitter herbs would remind them of the bitter times that they had in Egypt. And there was a symbol to represent the sacrifice that was put there to save their sons. And this unleavened bread was a third symbol to represent something very important. And I think if we, that's probably all I've ever thought of it. But there are so many verses in the preceding two chapters, or the following two chapters, that talk about the unleavened nature of which they were to take this. Let's read down in verses 19 through 20, and let's think about how serious was God about getting rid of this leaven in their lives. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is unleavened, or eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling place, you shall eat no unleavened bread. These people were to be excommunicated. This wasn't like a passive, nice gesture symbol. This was a serious task that they were to have no unleavened bread, or no leavened bread for 7 days. In fact, so much so, God didn't want it in their houses. He didn't want it in their regions. He wanted the leaven to be put away so that there was no mistake. There was no misconceptions. There was no errors of leavening the bread. And we see that in the next chapter, 13, verses 7 through 9. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for seven days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And that shall be as a sign to you, as a sign on your hand, and a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. These people were to put leaven out of their lives. Not just a cursory image for one evening. This was something that was to be removed. And any leaven that they would want in the future would have to basically be started over with, because they didn't have leaven in their territories at this point. This was putting away the old and getting ready for something new. And I don't think that it is lost on us that this is any different than what Paul was calling on the Corinthians to do, right? And when we partake, when we are baptized, we put away our old selves and we bring on the new. And as we partake of the bread, of course we want to remember the symbolic nature of Christ's body. But we also want to renew that thought in our minds of getting ready for what is to come. Look in Exodus, back in chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 11. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. They were to be ready for what was coming. They were ready for deliverance and ready for the new life that God had given them. So when we eat this unleavened bread, it's not supposed to be an exciting meal. I remember there was a Jewish gentleman visiting with us some years back. I think Jack and Anita were still here. And he was so excited to see that we had matzah bread. It symbolized something to his childhood and his family. And I thought, I've never seen anyone excited about the matzah bread. Now that we have these cups, I sure would enjoy that matzah bread. But this is not about enjoying a feast, enjoying luxurious things. This is about remembering the symbols. And so as we partake of these wafers this morning and this cup, let's just really remember what we're putting away. We're putting away sin. We're putting away an old life. We're putting away our old selves and putting on something new this morning, just as Christ has done and delivered to us through salvation. So as you... hopefully that was insightful to you. I've never thought through that way. But as we partake of the bread and drink the cup, let's focus on that life that was lived and get ready with our belts fastened to move forward.